The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's totally terrific. Time to tune in to the truth, tremendous, tenacious, triumphant, Tuesday, as we transform our worldly mindsets towards heavenly mindsets. What a lecture. And focus on the elements of life that bring glory to God. First up, hey there, big fella. Whatcha doing? Do you want a soda? Hey, guess what? Guess what? Motives matter. It's amazing. Next, there's a time to reap, a time to sow, a time to keep, and a time to let go. And finally, sanctuary rules abound as several churches have their own set of Ten Commandments, so to speak. But the funny thing is that the more important stuff is the stuff that matters to God.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. How much more? A lot. Just a lot more. Okay? Just a ton more. All right, so a couple things I want to start off with. You know you can reach the show, 972-445-0770. If you call, then Terrific T will answer the phone. And as you can tell outside, it's a beautiful day. And it's just like if you call, it'll just be like that, you stepping out in the sunshine when you talk to Terrific T up until you get to me. Okay? And then if you want to text 214-210-8483, that's 214-210-8483, you can do so for praise report, prayer request, pop question, which if we can't answer, we'll get to later on. You can do a comment as long as they're, you know, classy and not mean or anything like that. That's cool. And then also trivia, which is our big thing. And I'm going to open up with a trivia question, keeping it simple in this beginning part, right? Keeping it simple. And then I'll make a comment on the election that's very brief. And then we'll get into our first teaching. It's just that simple. We're just doing our show because that's what we do. We do our show. Here it is. The first thing, the scripture in Thessalonians says there's a certain way to pray. We should pray without, and then you got to fill in the word. Pray without. All right. Keep in mind, folks, any topic is open for conversation. Why is that? Well, it's not professional radio, it's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. All right, I think we have somebody already responding to the pray trivia question. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, Dave, this is Al.
Hey, Al, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, and you?
I'm doing well. I'm going to comment on the election after I hang up with you, but I wanted to apologize to you personally, but only because my wife is making me, because the last time you called, I told the worst joke ever, and she said, your first two jokes were really funny, but the one you gave when Al was on was terrible.
No need to apologize.
No, she was adamant. She said, if you're gonna tell a joke, it better be funny. That's what she said to me. That's my life right there, my friend. All right, here is the trivia question. In Thessalonians, Paul's encouraging us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, verbal plenary process, to pray a certain way. What is that way? Pray without
ceasing.
That is correct, sir. pray without ceasing. You never stop. People think, well, I've prayed, that's 5 minutes, that's great. Just imagine if God said, well, I've spent 5 minutes trying to help your life, now I'll just take a break. Be like,
I can't tell you how many walls I've ran into praying with my eyes closed. Following that scripture.
That's great. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is it's that never give up attitude, isn't it? It's just like, you know, until I get a yes or a no while I'm on hold, I'm just going to keep on praying. It's like,
that's right.
That's the way to go at it. Excellent job.
Good job. All right, enjoy the show.
Thank you, my brother. God bless.
Bye-bye.
All right. See, I was even nice enough not to drop the next joke I had on him because I waited until he hung up so that I wouldn't get in trouble for my wife. You ready for it? Okay. This way it's not directly. Here you go. Do you got your buzzer ready? Okay.
No.
Yeah, here we go. What did Adam and Eve do when they were expelled from the garden? What did Adam and Eve do when they were expelled from the garden? They raised Cain. Oh, come on. Come on. That's not that bad. All right, let me... They raised Cain. Come on. Come on.
I think I'm just starting to do this. Just
You're having more fun hitting the buzzer than I am telling the joke. That's not a good sign. Great job. Great opening by Elle. Let me just say this about election. You'll understand exactly where I'm coming from. It's not even complex. I vote. I encourage people to vote. You have that opportunity to vote. I do not agree with certain leaders, even those that are my friends, that say if you don't vote, you sin. That's, you got to be really careful there. If a person is genuinely not voting because they are abstaining, because that is where their conscience is, you can't really say that's a sin. But the people that are too lazy to vote, it's a little different because that's just being lazy. Here is what I would say. I think you should vote Bible. I don't think that's really hard. I think you should vote life. I don't think that's very hard. I think you should vote in a way that reflects God's truth. I don't think that's very hard. If you don't vote because you're lazy, notice how I give that, not because you have an objection, but if you don't vote because you're lazy, my theory is your contribution to the conversation is more limited because you're not even participating. So, you know, if you have an objection, fine. You vote one way or another, fine. If you don't vote because I got to get off the couch to do it, then my answer is your opinion does not have as much weight in the conversation if you're not willing to participate. Is that's fair, isn't it?
That is very fair.
I mean, that's just straight, you know, but I do think people should vote Bible. That's just where I'm at. Proverbs 16:2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. Now, there are two questions that come out of this that are part of the study that we need to understand. The first question is, what are we really doing? In other words, what are we really doing? Not what are you doing so other people see it, or what are you doing because that's the way. Like sometimes when I used to work, and I'm just being honest, so there's no point in getting mad at me. But when I was a busboy, or when I was in landscaping, or when I was working for various people, because I've done about 50 or 60 different occupational jobs, I didn't always put my all into it. And sometimes I just coasted a wee bit, okay? Now, I'm just being honest. That's what I was really doing, okay? In this show, I tend to not short the show, so to speak, but I've done this in many arenas and areas in my life. I short it. And the question is, what are we really doing? What's really going on? And then for you to understand, whatever anybody else doesn't see, God sees. So when we do those things, it's not unknown. It's known. Then the other question that goes with what are we really doing? This is the deeper one. Why are we really doing it? What's the real reason that you're doing what you're doing? Is it to cover? Is it to look good? Is it to, you know, placate? Whatever the reason is, it doesn't even matter. It's just like, what are you doing and why are you doing it? So there is an unbiblical proverb. Okay, I want to make sure everybody heard me. Not biblical, and it's not correct. Not. So those are nots, okay? I mean, no, not. There is a proverb from Saint Bernard. No, really, seriously, his name was Saint Bernard. Yes, not the dog, actually the Saint Bernard. In 1190 AD, and he said, he was the one that came up with, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. He's wrong. That doesn't validate what he's saying, because what he's saying is, well, good intentions don't mean anything. Yes, they do mean something, and they mean something to God. And what's important about that for you to understand is when you are genuinely putting effort into not sinning or doing better or trying to walk in a better way, God knows that. God knows what that motive really is. Now, God knows if you're hinging. He knows this if you're faking. And my point in saying all that is going back to the actual proverb. All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. What's really motivating us to do some of the things that we do? There are people that have really good intentions that are genuine. And don't you think as God is all-knowing, God knows that? That's a genuine. They're really trying to do it right. Of course the Lord knows that. And that's a wonderful thing. Now, that doesn't mean all those actions are perfect, and that's where that unbiblical proverb comes from. But motives count to God. Even if you fail in its execution, in your heart, that does matter to him. And my reason for bringing that up is because when you are genuinely doing the best that you know or the best that you can, you need to be resting in the assurance that God knows you're doing the best you can in the situation you're given. And what's going on. There's times where my wife and I will talk about something and we'll say to each other, we're just doing the best I can in this situation as best as I get it, right? And there's a classic saying, I used to have it on my little Mazda truck, my little Mazda rotary truck, my little green and black truck. It was kind of a nice little truck. And it just said, do your best, pray that it's blessed, and let Jesus take care of the rest. I know if I'm doing my best or not. I know if that statement's true or not. I know if it's phony or not. I know if I'm genuinely doing my best, even if I'm falling short. But more importantly, God knows. And that gives me assurance, not fear, because if I knew how to do something better, I probably would. I mean, I'd probably try and do it better. But because he is so aware of all of my inner workings, instead of that being negative, I see it as a positive. Doing the best I can, Lord. I'm praying that it's blessed. I'm going to let you take care of the rest. That's all I got. That sometimes is the best place to be. Get it? Okay, cool. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Thanks for listening to David Spoon on KAAM. Bible Trivia is sponsored by Texas Air King, the coolest company in Texas. Trust the AC coach to take care of your heating and cooling needs. Call or visit him online today at texasairking.com.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Verse 24 in Mark 5, it says Jesus went with him. Sometimes Jesus went there. Sometimes Jesus just spoke the word. Sometimes Jesus went there. It happens in all different ways. I did read this ridiculous thing from this one person who said, you know, Jesus, you know, healed, you know, every single person in the entire community and didn't charge anybody any money. They were trying to make a political argument. And the fact of the matter is he only healed one guy at the pool of Bethsaida, and that was actually a hospital. It's like, what do you guys read this stuff? So this is where you pull back from those kind of things and you go, can we just keep it on track with the truth? It's just easier if you just tell the truth and keep it the way it is and not try and make it fit some kind of narrative. Here's this narrative issued by Scripture itself. Jesus tells Jairus, don't ignore what these people are saying. Don't be afraid. Take a stand. Now, I'm going to read verse 37. You got to catch what Jesus does. Amazing. He did not let anyone follow him in except for Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw the commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why is all this commotion? Why all this wailing? The child's not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. And he put them all out and took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said, Talitha kaum? Talitha kaum? And that means, little girl, I say unto you, get up. Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. Remember the woman of the issue of the blood was 12 years of the issue of the blood. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this, and he told them to give her something to eat. Jesus was still ministering to this little girl, even though she was physically raised from the dead. He wanted to make sure she was taken care of. That's how Jesus is, okay? But what I want you to get is Jesus and the disciples and the parents, so they're all there, right? Because you got the parents there as well, right? And everybody's going, she's dead, she's dead, she's dead. And they're making fun of Jesus. What did Jesus do? Kicked him out. You know, for everybody that thinks that everything Jesus did was pull a flower out of his sleeve like a magician and just smiled and gave everybody an air high five, that's not how it went. Okay? They laughed at Jesus, and he put them all out. He took the child's father and mother and disciples along with him. What did he do? He cleared the air.
You're here when I need you the most. When I need
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Oh, my goodness. We got so many good things. Don't forget about livinginhisgrip.com from September and Glenn, giving us the opportunity to have some of their music for free. Also, a little bit of news about my brother. He told me last night or this morning, because now it's all a blur, but he's been asked to perform at a major, major conference, Christian conference, worship conference, song conference, music conference in 2021. So he's very, very excited. He's older than I am, so he's big time for him. This is huge, and I guess there's a lot of really big people. And the reason I bring up that he's older than I am is because he's older than I am, and he's probably listening, and it's just my way of digging at him. And then he always goes back, I'll always be older than you. Like, thanks, you know. It's like, anyway. So I think that's cool. Just be in prayer for that. That's kind of a cool thing. Don't forget, by the way, we're going to do our trivia right now. You can call in, right? You can call in. But if you're calling in, you call 972-445-0770. That's the number you call. If you call the text number I'm about to give you, nobody's going to answer because it's sitting on my desk. And I'm not answering that. The text number is 215-210-8483. 214-210. Did I say that wrong? What did I say?
Yeah, you said 215.
This is twice today I've done this. Oh, my goodness. Okay, just because I made fun of my brother getting older, that's why it happened.
There's your karma.
What a man sows, that shall he also reap. I just got it back. Okay, if you're texting, it's 214-210-8483. Oh, leave me alone. Here it is. Here's the second trivia question. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain? Stopping right there. Do you know that one? What shall it profit a man if he shall gain? And then you got to finish. You forgot the what? Oh, you want to do that? Okay, well, let's do this. Play it now.
Up next is Bible Trivia, sponsored by Texas Air King, the coolest company in Texas. Make sure your home is comfortable in any weather and contact the AC coach today. Call or visit him online at texasairking.com.
There you go. Okay, so we're still learning how to do all this stuff, okay? So for the people that are going, your show's not perfect. Hey, I saw the other day a $50 million a year production show have a lot more troubles than we do, and ours is not 50 million, 49 and a half tops. All right, so that's pretty funny. Here's the trivia question. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain? Blah, 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 blah. You got to finish that, okay? All right, Texas Air King. There you go. Good job. Website. See, I'm not going to forget that. HeMustIncrease.org. Website, HeMustIncrease.org. HeMustIncrease.org. Email David at HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okie dokie. Good job there. Don't forget about our website. I know you got a lot going on, a lot twirling around in the mind, but we have to keep the show going. That's relatively important from my perspective. Not as much as for T's perspective because it takes an hour out of her day, but it's a nice break. I mean, this other stuff she does kind of probably not as always exciting. This is live on the air stuff. Okay, here you go. Don't get mad at me about this that I'm about to talk about. I did not write this. I'm not the creator of this. I'm simply a communicator. Okay? Okay. 2 Chronicles 25, 6 through 9. He hired also 100,000 valiant warriors out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. But a man of God came to him saying, O king, do not let the army of Israel go with you, for the Lord is not with Israel nor with any of the sons of Ephraim. But if you do go, do it. Be strong for the battle. Yet God will bring you down before your enemy. For God has power to help and to bring down. Amaziah said to the man of God, But what shall I do for the 100 talents for which I have given for the troops of Israel? And the man of God answered, the Lord has much more to give you than this. Let me just say this. You're probably going, wait, what are you talking about? Here's a guy that spent 100 talents of silver to hire an army of valiant warriors. Okay? Spent big money for a big product. Big time. Big stuff. And the prophet said, if you do this in your strength, with your power, you're going to fail because God is going to make sure you fail. And so the guy, the king goes, well, what am I supposed to do with all the stuff? I mean, I already spent the money. I already committed to this. I already poured myself into this. What am I supposed to do now? And the response from the man of God was, the Lord has much more to give you than this. In other words, you know that big expenditure you had? Yeah, sometimes you just let it go. And you're thinking, no, 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 no. I can't let it go. Watch this. Let it go. It's like you're like going, no, 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 I did this. And it's not just money, folks. It's positions, powers, it's people, it's all of it. Sometimes you got to just stop. If the Lord wants to do something with it, he will. If he doesn't, he won't. Let it go. So many of us, and I've done this too, and I do this too. You know, it's not, I have my kids and I love my kids. I adore my kids, right? I would lay down my life for my kids, but only because I know where I'm going. Okay, so I feel a lot more comfortable saying that way. But they drive me crazy from time to time. I'm sure I'm the only parent. Because when in my faith, how we and my brother came out of it, it was radical. My parents were Jewish. We grew up in a Jewish customs. We grew up, we were bar mitzvahed. My sister was bat mitzvahed. It was the whole nine yards, right? We were at temple, like every faithful Jewish person in Detroit twice a year for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. I mean, it was a major, major part of our life. So when we became Christians, it was dramatic. When my kids became Christian, it wasn't dramatic because I was already on their side. I was already for them. And I find myself from time to time saying to the Lord, you know, I want them to have the radicalization that I had. I want them to have that step out and do those radical, crazy, nutty, you know, go down Van Buren back in 1979 and witness to the prostitutes and have the pimps pull out their guns and say, I can't even say what they said to us, but let's just say they shined their guns and threatened to shoot and kill us. And that's how we were just so sold out for faith. My kids have grown up and they're like, proper. That's the only way to say that. And my point is, I wish they had radical faith like me. I've invested so much. And then you recognize sometimes you just got to let that go. God is the Father. He knows what to do. He knows how to bring them about. And that, you think that doesn't frustrate me as a person? Of course it does. But guess what? Sometimes you got to say, okay, I can't. It's not my control. You see, they are my kids, but before they're my kids, they're God's kids. That's the part that drives me bonkers. And the Lord only lends them to us, if you understand what I'm saying. But they're ultimately God's children And I got to trust that God will do it and bring it about the way that he wants to. And that's something I have to let go of. And the only reason that I bring this up is because most of the time it's financial. I'm just saying, you put in something, you invest in something, and you're like, oh, sometimes you got to wipe your hands and let it go. I put in not a significant amount of money, but a decent amount of money in a project that a friend told me about, wiped out the next day. The next day. Not check cleared. Gone. Okay? Now, I could hold it against him. I didn't. I just said, okay. All right, I'm just going to have to let that go. And there are times where you have to do that. I think there's times where I've hurt people in the exact opposite context of what I just said. I feel bad about that all the time. I wish God would give me millions and billions of dollars so I can make everybody whole all over my entire existence. But I can't. I can only ask for God's forgiveness and his help to do better. And then you just got to let it go. And the reason that I bring that up is because the scriptures talk about a time to keep something and a time to let it go. A time to plant, a time to reap. A time to live, a time to die. And there's a time to laugh and a time to cry. And sometimes you just let it go. Okay, well, here you are, Lord. I give it to you. Now, I'm telling you this. I'm trying to be as intimate and earnest as I can. It doesn't mean that I do this well all the time. I don't. I don't think I do it well often. And in fact, I would venture to say that most of you don't complain to God the same way or the same amount that I do. But the back part of my mind trusts him that he knows I'm really just trying to move forward in him and do it right. But what I'm saying to you as a brother in the Lord, okay, as a co-laborer, a Christian brother to the brothers and the sisters, there are times, there are things in our lives that we have attached to anger and bitterness and frustration, and we get really upset, even though God knows the whole situation better, and we are better off putting it on the altar of Jesus Christ and saying, there you go. Me and everything inside of me and everything I have, me and everything I am, I lay it down on your altar. And I present it to you for you to be the king over it. And then let it go. Don't turn around from the altar. Grab it without anybody looking and put it in your back pocket. Yeah, done that too. Can't do that. Okay? All right. Let's finish off on the trivia question. From Texas Air King sponsoring that. We do appreciate that, by the way. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Mark chapter 8, verse 36. Excellent job on the people that texted in. You all did excellent job, and everybody got it right. Super duper good. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, You can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then the show starts, and you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience, only for the brave of heart and the bored.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
By the way, I found out just the other day, I know you don't know this, but I found out that I am one of the most hated people in the United States of America and in the world. Did you know that?
Because you're a middle-aged white guy?
Ha! Let me help you out here, son. Let me help you out. Not only am I a middle-aged white guy, by the way, thanks for the middle-aged line. Thanks, pal. I appreciate that.
I'm not that far behind.
Okay, well, that's not the point. The point is, I'm also, ready? I'm also Jewish, okay? So I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm Christian, so I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm conservative. I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm an American. Got a lot of people that don't like me right there. I mean, you see where we're going with this? And I have a talk show. So that's just, you put all those together.
My you got points, me left. Yeah, I love you, buddy.
I mean, come on. You know, just because they love me doesn't mean they're right. And just because they hate me doesn't mean they're wrong.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I get a kick out of hearing that because that was Robo Paul was another one of them. I've had, engineer-wise, I've had, I think, like 8, 9. Everybody's been great. You know, I've just been really blessed. I'd say 85% have been great. Let me rephrase that. T is the nicest person I have ever worked with. You are by far the nicest. But then again, I had some smart alecky people that always made it interesting. I just want to say that had its moments. Okay, let's get ready for our next trivia question. Very happy about Texas Air King. I think that's very cool. And I think it's a great blessing, that they do that. And we do offer that. I have now actually removed myself from the process. So if people want to do any sponsoring or anything, they talk to the station and then everybody works it out. Okay, that's how far removed I want to be. I just want to concentrate on the show, and I would say I just want to concentrate on Greek, but that's a total lie, so I'm not saying that. But I want to concentrate on my studies. Okay, I can say that. That's fair. Okay, here's the next trivia question. Which Bible person, and in this case, just because of this particular story, this would actually be a character versus trying to think of this as a real person. This is a story character. It's the best way to say that. But which Bible person ate food that was given to pigs? New Testament. So everybody, stop thinking about, I know you all, people are thinking, Ezekiel. No, they're going back. It's like, stop that. Go the other way. Go the other way. Okay? All right. There it is. I'll leave it there. This was explained in a story. Who was that? Okay. You got to think about this. Like, wait, what? Somebody? Yeah? Okay. It's the one time that the pigs that have the revenge, because for me, I like ribs. So I'm just like, and then I like ham. What else is it? Other things are, I mean, I just
bacon.
Like, oh my gosh, I love bacon.
Pork chops.
Oh my gosh, I love, stop. Now I'm starving. Thanks a lot. 972-445-0770 if you want to call in. Who is the Bible character, New Testament, that ate food that was given to pigs? And then if you want to text in 214-210-8483. At least I got that right. I'm okay. I'm all right. Don't worry about me. I'm worried about me. Okay. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Oh, hi, David. This is Mary.
Hi, Mary.
And it's of course, it's the prodigal son. I just dialed a little faster, I guess. I'm sure there's other people that know this. This is a very common story.
Right. So say that again. Who was it then, Mary? Who was the person?
It was the, what they call him, the prodigal son. It was a man
No, the prodigal son. That is exactly. That is it. You are 100% correct. It's the prodigal son. An amazing story that Jesus talks about. There's a couple of really amazing things in that story, not the least of which is the father was looking for the son to come back. So that tells you where God's heart, if that's an illustration of God and us, that tells you where the father's at. And the brother had a really bad attitude about the whole thing, which also tells you about people that are already in, and then new people come in, and maybe they're not as happy as they should be. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting.
It's really a good contrast between the two brothers, yeah.
Yep, excellent.
It really is. It's a good story. It's a good story to think about, the difference between the two boys. And, you know, the boy that, the older boy, he's the one that stayed home. He had plenty of opportunity that he could have asked his father, you know, for, you know, to have a party with his friends.
Yep. Yeah,
and
exactly.
It's just like, you know, we have people that have plenty of opportunity to turn to the Lord, you know.
Yeah, and you want them to respond. Exactly, it's exactly right. You want the people that are far away to respond as soon as possible, and then we should be having a party with them, because that's better than the alternative.
Yeah, and the older boy, I mean, the younger boy realized that his righteous living was. You know, I've known people that, you know, they have friends. I knew a person. He had friends as long as he could, you know, give them liquor and stuff, you know. But the minute he didn't have these things to give to his friends, the friends sort of disappeared.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah, I do a teaching on that.
Yeah, this is like the story, you know. And then he realized, you know, they weren't really my friends anyway, and I really need to. He really repented. He had a repenting heart.
Yep.
Yeah. So
excellent.
Okay. Well, that's enough of me.
I love you. I appreciate you calling in so much. You did a great job, and I appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Bless you.
I appreciate your program too. I really do.
Thank you.
Yeah. We love each other in the Lord, you know.
Yep, you got it.
And there's a song that says, "We are one in the bond of love. We have joined our spirit with the spirit of God. We are one in the bond of love." Okay, well, talk to you another time.
Okay,
bye-bye.
God bless. Bye-bye. All right, there we go. Prodigal son. All right, so here's what we're going to do. Just because of time constraints, we're going to do the word of the day first, and then we'll do history, okay? So let's just do the word, and then I'm going to get into the teach. Here we go. So there you go. That's it. All right. Now, the Hebrew word for today might be more appropriate for some people today. Don't be all freaked out. You got to learn all the words if you're going to learn the words, right? This word is to fear or to be afraid or to be in awe. The word is yare. Yare.
Yare.
Yare. So a couple ways to look at that. You can be afraid of the sunburn from the yares. It's like yares. Or if somebody is named Ray and you're agreeing with him, you can go yare. Yare. I agree. Okay. Yare. To fear, to be afraid, or to be in awe. There's your Hebrew word for the day. We're going to get into our teaching. The website, you guys know, so we're just running out of time, so I'm not going to do that right now. Here's the teaching. Some of you will really like this, and some of you won't. But I love you, so that's a good thing to think about. 2 Chronicles 30:18-20, for a multitude of people, even many from Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar, and Zebulun, had not purified themselves, yet they ate the Passover otherwise than prescribed. For Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, "May the good Lord
pardon everyone who prepares his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though not according to the purification rules of the sanctuary. So the Lord heard Hezekiah and healed the people. Let me make this perfectly clear so that you're never missing this. Multiple churches, not every church, not even the church that I go. I love the church I go to. In fact, the sermon is up on the website that I had mentioned to you before in case you need easy access to it. But many churches have this secondary Ten Commandments. They know what the Ten Commandments are, but they have their unspoken Ten Commandments. Okay, you guys know what I'm talking about. Well, here in this situation in 2 Chronicles 30, these people, they sought God, but they missed the framework of the rules. In other words, God had established rules for the Passover to be followed, and they were trying to follow the Passover, but they missed the window, and they missed the preparation, and so they kind of blew it. And then, but they were really trying to seek God, and so Hezekiah prays for the people and said, Lord, pardon everybody that was trying to seek you but didn't quite do it right. They didn't quite do it the way. It's so funny. We were just talking about the prodigal son, if you think about how this works. But they didn't quite do it. Have mercy on them and heal them and don't be angry with them. And the scripture says the Lord heard Hezekiah and healed the people. In other words, God says, I got you covered. Even though they didn't do it the exact prescribed way, the grace of God was extended because they genuinely wanted God and more of him. The key in this is understanding that pursuing God is more critical than the performance of the rules and regulations, and this is the exact point that the Old Testament, the leaders teaching the Old Testament law, blew it and went sideways. Because they started to teach that the rules and the regulations were more critical than pursuing God, and they had it backwards. And Jesus came on the scene. You think, well, why did they wait 400 years? You know, there's a lot of argument, testimony as to why, and it could be the Septuagint was translated into the Greek language so everybody can get it, and so on and so forth. So from the Hebrew to Greek, that's all well and good, but the reality check is they had, in that period of time, so perversed the law that now its structural performance and rules became more important than the pursuit of God. And Jesus came in and said, that is backwards. And then he said, you have heard it say, but I say. You have heard it say, but I say. He didn't even say you've heard it's written. It's actually, he said, you have heard it said, but I say. And it's like, wow. Pursuing God is numero uno. See, I'm bilingual. It's number one, period. And if you don't do the rules and the regulations perfect, that's okay as long as your heart is real in pursuing God. Get that? All right. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
There was a pastor, now I use that word with some reservation, having been involved in ministry and having the privilege of planting seven churches throughout the United States and having three separate ordinations, I have a tremendous amount of respect for people who commit their lives into ministry. But whenever there's somebody on television or anywhere else that is a nut job, then I just call it like I see it. Okay, nah, that's what I call it. Call it like I see it. On the Sean Hannity show, roughly about 2 weeks ago, a reverend, so-called Reverend Oliver White was on the show, and Reverend Wright said this, and I'm going to repeat it because some of these things are just unbelievable. He said that Jesus was wrong about marriage. At least he didn't have the audacity to say he never said anything about marriage. He said Jesus was wrong about marriage and that marriage should be more than between a man and a woman. And then he proceeded to say this statement, ladies and gentlemen. He said this. Now, this isn't even the thing that's irritating. Then he proceeded to say this. If Jesus were alive today, he said, he would say, I didn't know it all. This is a man who's supposed to be representing Jesus Christ as a minister. This guy's no minister. And if you want to say, well, that's judging, I'll take that judgment all day long. All day long, I'll take that judgment, no matter what anybody says. Here's a guy that says two things. One, Jesus was wrong about marriage. Two, if Jesus were alive today, any person who proclaims or professes to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ and questions whether Jesus Christ is alive today or not is not a minister, but a false teacher. I don't care. I don't care if you like it. I don't care if you think that's mean. That's irrelevant. Facts are facts. And here's the thing that just overwhelms me. This overwhelms me, ladies and gentlemen. Any person who is in public office, now this goes with this, all three of these things go together. Any person who is in public office who changes their convictions about same-sex marriage because another family member has made a decision to go into the lifestyle of being gay or lesbian, any person who changes their convictions, their biblical Christian convictions, based on another family member changing their status into a gay or lesbian lifestyle, and then that person then changes their Bible convictions to accommodate their family member, is not fit to be a Christian. That's right. I said it.
Sometimes hallelujah.
Welcome back to the Firehouse, to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I try to tell you guys, I'm really, really, really nice now.
That's all I'm going to say. I'm really, 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 really nice.
Now, there was a time. Oh, my goodness gracious. All right, let's add our next trivia question. Then we got to do our history. We got to do the website. We didn't do that on purpose, especially because our last segment, because we're running out of time. And then the last teaching. And I think they're all real good. So here's the question. In what book of the Bible do you find the following? In my father's house are many mansions. By the way, just for those that are trying to understand that, many mansions, actually the Greek word is dwelling place, the same thing that Paul wrote, not the same thing, but a similar word that Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, talking about our houses in heaven. They're really not houses or mansions. They're technically even not even rooms. They're dwelling places. Just telling you in case anybody kind of drops, well, how can everybody have a mansion? Well, first of all, there's unlimited space. But the real answer is that it's more of a house. I'm just more of a dwelling place where you're going to live. Okay? Just trying to help out. But anyway, what book of the Bible is that in? If you know, call 972-445-0770. Also, if you want to text 214-210-8483, do not forget about our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, we have answers flying in, and everybody's doing a great job, so that's excellent. Let us talk about history right now.
Let's go live in the past. Let's go live in the past.
All right, just a couple of reasons why I really wanted to do this. I don't know if I'll be able to pull it off, so I got to do it quickly, so just bear with me. One, it's Election Day in the United States. Number two, it's also the day that income tax was first introduced into the United States in 1913. So in response to that, they're just like, it's Election Day, and then taxes were introduced on this day. So, that's exactly what I was thinking. Perfect. It's also Sandwich Day. You cannot go wrong with that. If you don't like sandwich, you probably don't like the show. I'm kidding.
I agree.
It's cliche day. Better safe than sorry. Better late than never. You can't cry over spilt milk. Haste makes waste. All that stuff. I have a bunch of them, but I want to get to something else. It's also for those that are like me. In 1954, the first Godzilla movie was released in Japan on this day in 1954. I thought that was funny. And then here's the last thing, and I'll tell this joke because it's a classic, and I cannot get away from this. In 1993, on this day, Polly Wants Justice, a parrot, knew who the murderer was in real life, but they could not introduce the parrot as a testimony that would count, but that parrot's commenting led to the person being indicted and then charged, okay? And just with that, I have to do this joke. It's a requirement. I can't get away from it. Don't get mad at me. This has got nothing to do with faith, but it's really funny. A lady has a plumbing problem. By the way, pray for Aunt Deb. She has a plumbing problem. She has a plumbing problem, and she calls the plumber, and she says, I got to get here right away. And then she has a parrot, and the parrot says, I can only say, who is it? The parrot can't say anything else. Who is it? Who is it? Who is it? It's all the parrot can say. Just bear with me. The lady gets an emergency phone call, has to run, forgets about the plumber, drives away, and then the plumber comes to the house, knocks on the door. The parrot goes, who is it? The plumber goes, wait. It's the plumber. And then the parrot doesn't say anything. The guy knocks again. He goes, who is it? The guy goes, it's the plumber. The guy's waiting. Nothing happens. He knocks on the door again. He goes, who is it? The plumber goes, it's the plumber. It's the plumber. You call the emergency. I'm right here. Knocks on the door again. The bird goes, who is it? The guy goes, it's the plumber. Falls over, has a heart attack right then and there. Don't get mad at me. Everybody comes home and they go, oh my goodness, who's that? And the parrot goes, it's the plumber. Come on. Is that a great joke? It's the
plumber. Okay, that was a good one. That was actually a good one.
It's the plumber. That's just a clown. All right. If you can't laugh at that, you are way caught up in too many things. Philippians chapter 4. It's the plumber. Come on. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 or 7. Don't worry about anything. Stop worrying. But in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving. With what? With thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Everything and anything. There's a whole slew of commentaries on how this doesn't apply to everything and anything, except the word is everything. So when you have a word that kind of says it, don't worry about anything, but in everything, you have these two words that are basically the same word. It means everything and anything, and anything and everything. It says, don't worry. Don't worry. Stop freaking out. Okay? Take a deep breath. Let the air out. And remember who's on the throne. Okay? Remember who's on the throne. Victory or no victory in your election choices, it does. Relax, because 10 years from now, that won't be the issue. I'm hoping that we're not here still, but if we are, shooting Christians might be the issue. I mean, that could be a big issue. So just relax. Take it easy for right now. Number two, prayers with gratitude. You bring your prayer and your petition with thanksgiving. You don't bring your prayers and petitions before the Lord with a grudging attitude. You're thankful. The Lord has answered 10,000 prayers, ones that you don't even know you prayed, that are back into your mind going, boy, I wish God would do this, and you never had the courage to say it, and God did it anyway. Because before they call, I will answer, right? But he likes the communion with his creation. And the peace of God. Now, here's the big key. You bring your petitions before the Lord. You bring it with thanksgiving. And you let your request be made known. And the peace of God. For those that don't know, the word peace means rest. That's where Noah's name comes into play. Rest. And many of us are looking for a calming between the left and right ear. And we need rest. Hey, guess what? That's what God brings. He brings a rest. He brings a peace. First thing Jesus said on multiple occasions after the resurrection, peace, peace. Why? Because they were freaking out because Jesus died. And now he's resurrected. And they're like, wait, what's going on? Oh, my goodness, this is weird. And Jesus is like, peace. Everybody calm down. Take a deep breath. That's what he's telling him. Because God is a God of peace. And the key is it surpasses every thought. Now, what that means for those that are trying to figure out what surpasses every thought means, it goes beyond logic. It's like, well, that doesn't make any sense at all. Exactly. You should just be freaking out. Nope. In fact, Paul says, I live with confidence because I know that this whole thing is temporary. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 6. Read it in the NIV. He talks about being confident because he knows, hey, man, I know what's going on. And there's going to come a point in time where none of it matters. So that's the key. The peace of God surpasses every thought, goes beyond logic, defies all logic. And what does it do? This is one of the things that people miss a lot. It guards your hearts and your minds. Your hearts are where your feelings are, and your minds are where your thinking is. And between your heart and your mind is all of the confusion-y mess and the getting upset and stuff. I mean, it's not your big toe that's making you unhappy. It's your heart. And it's like, oh. Oh, and God will guard your heart. And God will guard your mind. If you make your petitions to him, do it with thanksgiving, do it about everything. And that peace that comes from God, that's almost, it's almost unidentifiable, but it's definitely unexplainable. That will guard your heart and your mind. And then you know what? It'll be okay. And that's what makes the difference, is when you and I together bring our awareness to the fact that God is already involved, and we turn it over towards him, and we yield it towards him, we can find this line of peace that goes through everything. And I, you know, I'm not just talking about the political stuff. I'm not talking about your job. I'm not talking about your money. I'm not talking about your relationship. I'm talking about everything. So that when you wake up in the morning, you don't go drat another day. But instead, you go, yay, one step closer to dancing on streets of gold, right? Right. In my Father's house are many mansions. Where was that located? The Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 2. It's got plenty of room for you if you've not asked to be a part of his home. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, Christian station here in Texas. 23-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.